Of all the days the NBA has had, today was one of them. Kawhi Leonard is out. Chris Paul is paused. Kevin Durant is most definitely in, and the Bucks are whatever the exact opposite of that is. We got coaches fired, GMs parting ways, and this panel here to break it all down. Let's go.
Too much, Tony. Too much.
Go home, NBA. You're drunk. Go drunk, NBA. You're home. The Chris Paul COVID protocol news and then the Kawhi Leonard injury news were separated by minutes. And all of that was followed up by the LeBron James bombshell tweets. It's been a day in the NBA for Paul. His time away is arranged, and it's dependent on the specifics of what triggered the protocol violation and whether he's vaccinated. Whether he'll be available for the start of the Western Conference Finals is a question no one knows the answer to, but it's entirely possible he misses no time or minimal time. But what we do know is that Kawhi Leonard is out for tonight's Game 5, and the reporting here is much worse than the fear of an ACL tear. And for that to be the latest injury is what LeBron James is tweeting about. And no shortage of words, James calling out the league office for choosing business over players. LeBron saying he warned everybody, 8 All-Stars injured is hurting the game, and the lack of rim rest is the reason of that. National panel, we're gonna talk about Kawhi Leonard specifically in a second, but does LeBron James have this right? Has the league lost a measure of the competitive balance of these playoffs because of the injuries and the NBA's decision to choose business over players? Israel, first to you.
Yeah, I think so. And I think if you even compare it to last year in the bubble, whatever you think of an asterisk, I think there's more of an asterisk to however this season ends than there was even to last season. Because last season we're talking about, obviously, the big gap in time between the break. You're talking about, you know, no fans, the background being clean, no travel and all that stuff. But at least the basketball was pure, right? In fact, maybe even more pure basketball than we see with all these other elements and on the road and everything else with actual fans. But on this one, you're talking about 8 All-Stars to be gone from the postseason. That's the most ever. And I don't think it's a coincidence that it's the people doing the heavy lifting who are getting more hurt now, right? Because of the condensed schedule, because of the lack of time in between. If you remember, the players wanted to start it well later, like into January, maybe even February, but the league had to get its money. So I think if you look at all the factors, it's hard to argue against the fact that the NBA deserves a lot of the blame for this, and this is not your prototypical postseason.
Ooh. Kevin Blackstone, how do you view all these injuries? And are you with Gutierrez? There's an asterisk on this season?
Well, I don't put an asterisk on it just because we know that there are injuries that happen all the time. I mean, ask Chris Paul, ask Kevin Durant. These guys have suffered injuries in playoffs before that have kept them away from their teams. Look at the Warriors and what happened to them. Obviously, with the condensed season, and I say condensed with an asterisk because, you know, they took away, 10 games, a few weeks in which to play them, but there were no back-to-backs and all that kind of stuff. But the thing that caught them, obviously, was not starting the season when the players wanted to, as you alluded, probably around January 18th, which would have given the teams that played the longest in the bubble a little bit more rest, which is what these guys needed. But it does certainly take some starch out of this postseason.
Injuries happen, as Kevin Blackstone said, but they've never happened like this, Pablo Torre. And just look, all the teams that were in made long runs, deep runs into the playoffs last year. They're already out. So are you viewing this season with an asterisk, Pablo?
I'm viewing it with a footnote. I won't say an asterisk because, Tony, the issue of rest and fewer games being necessary to preserve the health of players has been talked about for 5 years on ESPN.com at least, and I'm sure other places too. This is the bet the NBA knows it's making. In this particular season, they wanted to end the season before the Olympics because they didn't want to compete with all of that. But on top of that, you had the pandemic, you had coming off of the bubble. All of it is more extreme, but thematically, the idea that the only way to get rid of this or to mitigate it specifically is to have fewer games, which means fewer and less money, that is something the NBA is always going to be loath to accept because it's about the bottom line.
So you would say the NBA is responsible for what this season has become, though?
A lot of it, yeah.
Mina Kimes, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And, you know, this is collectively bargained, so you can point to the Player Association as well in terms of agreeing to this. But the effect of it all is undeniable because it happened during the regular season as well. Our Baxter Holmes and Kevin Pelton were reporting on the spate of soft tissue injuries. And according to their data, this is the most injuries, the most games lost to injuries ever, in particular with All-Stars, who, as Izzy said, take on a lot of the load. They miss 19% of games, again, the most ever. You can't deny what happened. As far as whether it merits an asterisk, I actually object to that a little bit because, like Kevin, I think you can point to any postseason and identify significant injuries that made the path easier for certain teams or harder for others. Whichever two teams make it to the end in the finals, I believe, deserve to be there and deserve the credit for getting that far, regardless of who they beat. Mm-hmm.
For the Clippers, the Kawhi Leonard news is just absolutely gutting because no team had a bigger microscope on them than the Los Angeles Clippers going into this postseason. And Mina, I'm looking at your face right now, and it's tough to consider that he's going to be clearly out tonight. And the reporting is he's going to be done for quite some time here, and that puts the entire franchise in the balance.
I'm sad. I'm sad for basketball. I'm sad for Kawhi Leonard, obviously, but I'm especially sad for this organization and their very tortured fan base. Because, Tony, you know, I thought the Clippers were going to make it to the finals. Coming off of these last two games, they looked phenomenal. They were playing like the Clippers we wanted them to be, or at least the team wanted to be when Kawhi and PG came together, a big two who can dominate on both ends. They were neutralizing Rudy Gobert with their shooting, and now that's out the window because these other teams, these other injuries, they have hope. Players are going to return. Joel Embiid is playing through pain. I just don't see that path for LA.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I had the Clippers in the finals too, Mina, and it's because you see the way that they're defending. You know, Donovan Mitchell's been scoring, but his percentages haven't high. Oh, by the way, they could use Mike Conley, an all-star who's hurt, Utah can. But if you look at the matchup, a potential matchup between Clippers and Suns, man, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard can defend that Suns backcourt way better than the Denver decimated backcourt could have. So I basically had them in the finals, and then this. You know, you have no idea if it has anything to do with his quad tendon injury from before, but it's unfortunate because it just looked like Ingles just kind of hit him, and he, you know, had that sort of non-contact, a little bit of contact injury, and it's just
Blackstone, you're shaking your head there on Ingles making the contact there.
Yeah, because it just looked like, it certainly looked like a non-basketball play. It just looked, it's very weird. I was trying to figure out what is Ingles doing in that point, and then it takes him, it forces him to bend his leg in, and now we know where we are. A horrible blow for the team, the franchise, the NBA. Hopefully it's not as bad as
it's. You know where we are. He's got an out right now as well. I mean, yes. The franchise, I mean, it's all hanging in the balance right now. We'll move on because I want everybody to give me your Kevin Durant face. Let me see it.
I don't want to be memed.
Oh, it's like, I think. It's like that Antonio Banderas meme. The masterpiece. Let's go. The one and only 49-17-10-48 game in NBA playoff history because he played all 48 minutes. The shots, the faces he was making. I mean, just a masterpiece. There's all that, and there's how the Bucks blew this game, blew it like a dynamite factory that's supposed to make dynamite, but instead they made the factory out of dynamite. What was this play here? The Giannis turnaround jumper on the very game, but the very mummified remains of Harden, who was waving off defensive help. I mean, this has to be the most perplexing shot of the NBA season. Pablo, you were there. There's a lot of air there. What do you want to start with?
If you like basketball, Tony, this felt like a spiritual experience because Kevin Durant in that second half had one of the best halves of any game in any sport, any time ever, and it turned the entire game, of course, into a top 10 NBA playoff performance of all time. That is what Kevin Durant was doing in Brooklyn last night. What Mike Budenholzer was doing, on the other hand, was looking like a dad who forgot to take out the trash and so woke up after a nap at 3 a.m. because his wife was going to yell at him. And I don't know why that guy didn't get the message before to hunt down the dude who was hobbling in James Harden. Why were they not attacking him all night? That made no sense there, and I presume at home either.
That's on Budenholzer to you, though. We just showed you a two-time league MVP backing up James Harden.
That wasn't
Kevin Blackstone, you find yourself questioning what Giannis is thinking there?
I do. And once again, and I hate to do that, but you have to question how he approaches the game in big time situations. Why, with peg leg Harden guarding you, and you've got a 7'3 wingspan on a 6'11 body, why you would be shooting a turnaround fadeaway jumper on the baseline instead of just backing him down and probably dunking on him? That's what you should be doing. And the other thing he should be doing is he should be patting himself on the chest and saying, I got that guy, meaning Kevin Durant. Step up and play some defense, since that's something that's in your back pocket as well.
Israel Gutierrez.
On the tiers of shock level in this game, number one for me is Jeff Green's performance. Number two is the Bucks' just relative incompetence. And then number three is Kevin Durant, because I was not shocked that he was capable of that whatsoever. But in contrast to what the Bucks didn't do or couldn't do, it's just amazing. It's not even close. Like, I think the Bucks looked like a team that was collapsing. They were collapsing around their star, who couldn't catch a simple pass, who was shooting fadeaways, who was hitting pull-up threes, who was not defending the best player on the other team, despite being all NBA first team. Drew Holiday throwing up some choking air balls. And look, I'll say this about Chris Middleton. Nobody feels good when he has to do something, right? Nobody feels good when the pressure is on Chris Middleton. He can do it, but nobody's going to feel good about it. And so you're following Giannis. Ooh. And what Giannis showed you is that I don't know if he recognizes his ability, like, just jump up and put it in the basket. Like, you have this physical dominance over these other players and you're bailing them out. It was just really tough to watch.
Mina Kimes.
Ooh, I mean, it's too bad, because Giannis actually played well, but the contrast between him and Kevin Durant, Giannis's relative limitations as a superstar, were just so apparent in this game. And, you know, we were talking about all the injuries earlier, and it's a little perverse, but they enabled Kevin Durant to have this legacy-defining performance to basically answer any questions about whether he can carry a team, put an entire team on his back. That was legacy-defining stuff, man. I mean, the scoring, the playmaking, the 17 rebounds. I have chills, goosebumps. Can you see them? Just thinking about it.
One more time. Nope, give me the Durant face.
Nobody sees them.
Give me the Durant face. They can't see the goosebumps. They can see the Durant face. Pablo, I mentioned you were there at this game.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Getty Images caught you alongside Jason Sudeikis, his son Otis, and Wyatt Sinek, our good friend. And they called you Ed Gett. Look at that. It says Ed Gett. Can you change his name on the screen here?
Let's go. Paparazzi.
Ed Gett.
Anti-process paparazzi.
Jason. No. Hey.
Hanging out with some close personal friends, and that happens, sure.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
While baseball implements 10-day suspensions for stick on the hands, Tyler Glass now says his UCL injury is because he couldn't grip the ball as well as he used to be able to. His last start, very effective, but woke up sore, now ligament damage. It's almost like baseball was like, a lot of drama in the NBA, don't forget about us. Mina, do you buy or sell Glass now there?
You know, I do buy it, because he put the focus where it needs to be, on baseball, making this decision on the fly and not having flexibility. Glass now said he uses sunscreen as part of his grip, which baseball's taken a hard line, but maybe it shouldn't have. Maybe players should have been allowed to say, hey, I'm not using the spider tack stuff. Let me use sunscreen. That's normal.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, I'm buying the idea that you shouldn't do this mid-season. And maybe baseball didn't actually, or MLB didn't actually think this part of it through, mm-hmm. potential injuries. Obviously, they talked about, you know, the pitchers maybe not having a great grip and hitting batters, but maybe they didn't think this part through. And yeah, if you go decades and decades and decades of allowing this to happen and then all of a sudden cut it short, something pretty drastic is going to happen. So they probably should have waited till the offseason.
KB, do you buy Glasnow saying the fact that the grip was different for him gave him an injury?
No, I'm selling it. Going to have to show me some scientific data from NIH on that one. And I also sell it because, you know what, let's just play baseball by the rules. These aren't new rules that that Major League Baseball just put in. Maybe they weren't enforcing them as they should have been. But you know what? You're in the league. Just play by the rules.
And guest. That's you, Pablo.
I would say, and yet, that Major League Baseball does deserve the brunt of the responsibility here because this is a sport premised on habitual line stepping, Tony, right? And so what happens when you suddenly say, hey, stop stepping over that line? There are going to be unintended consequences. And what Tyler Glasnow is saying is that without that grip, it's not about spin rate to him, it's about grip. He is tightening his arm in ways that he did not before, which to me, the physics of that seem pretty intuitive. And yet.
We'll move on. Buyers sell two. Back to the NBA. I mean, we talked about all the injuries and LeBron before. We talked about Chris Paul. But two NBA coaches changing today. And a GM parting ways. So Washington parting ways with Scott Brooks. New Orleans, after 1 year, saying Stan Van Gundy is out. And the Dallas Mavericks let their GM Don Nelson walk. 1 year out in New Orleans, Israel. Let's start there with Stan Van Gundy. Does that make sense?
I'm pretty surprised by it. I mean, end of games wasn't really great. His lineups early on weren't really great, but then there's probably because there was players he kind of had to play and then get adjusted to it. I'm surprised they didn't let him go a little bit longer term with Zion because he obviously gave Zion a good look as sort of a point forward and maybe changed his career path a little bit. But, I mean, 1 year, there's not much you can say about it other than they might not have been.
KB, of the moves made today, any jumping out of you?
Well, I mean, Scott Brooks has been in D.C. for 5 years. The winning percentage has been going down and down and down. He was playing on his last year of his contract. No surprise here. Surprise with the Pelicans, of course. And so now Zion is going to have to adjust to his third coach in his young NBA season. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
And guess?
Yeah, David Griffin, Tony. And yeah, David Griffin has had two coaches in his first 2 years. He feels the heat under his seat rising. And the big source of all of that energy is how does Zion Williamson feel about playing for this franchise? It's all about whether he wants to stay with them. This is all about that.
Full on consulting Zion for this new opening here, Pablo Torre?
They better, because the word is he doesn't love it there right now.
Mina Kimes.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit surprising, and only a little bit, because Van Gundy was brought in to fix the defense. They finished 23rd in defensive efficiency. It's not really the result you want. I gotta think they consulted with Zion for all the reasons my fellow panelists and guests just outlined. And I also believe that David Griffin needs to be concerned, because I actually thought he deserves more criticism than Van Gundy based on how things have gone in New Orleans.
So New Orleans, Boston, Portland, Indy, Orlando, Washington. Can you rank those jobs, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, I love the Portland job. You know, Washington, sneaky good with that backcourt, but you kind of asked me to do it on the fly here.
So I'm sorry I asked you to do it on the fly here, Israel Gutierrez.
Oh, wow.
What was that?
Oh, now we're letting the guest in. Great.
Mr. NBA.
Oh, man. Well, end guest is, you just got beat by end guest, Israel Gutierrez. Oh, my goodness. On the fly, flying out, that's going the wrong way.
Still says that.
Mina Kimes, Pablo Torre. Oh, no, excuse me. And guest. I mean, the panelist formerly known as Pablo Torre in Showdown Deck.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five interceptions for Tua Tagovailoa. in one day of mini camp. Something or nothing, Mina Kimes?
It's something insofar as there is a lot of scrutiny on Tua right now because of last season, because of Justin Herbert's performance. It's nothing because it's June. It was raining, and apparently he was great in camp today. Don't place too much emphasis on what happens in June.
And guest?
But it's also something, Tony, because the number 5 is a haunting number for the Dolphins organization, because you know what Ryan Fitzpatrick's QBR was last season? Oh. It was number 5. So maybe they should be concerned that that guy just having to walk out the door after having a season like that.
I had no idea where you were going. Just for the effort there, Pablo. Mina, you have to respect the Dolphins' defense in minicamp is outstanding. The best minicamp defense in the league. We'll move on. Showdown 2, the history of own goals. It's long and it's sad, but back to the point, it is long because it happens.
Oh, God.
But it has never, ever happened like this. Has it ever happened like this? This was Canada, Haiti. Oh. This was Haitian keeper Josue Duverger, and this is it's the worst ever, right, Pablo? If not, what is the worst?
No, that's the worst ever because that had all the feel of like a DUI check. But then you add in the mere fact that this guy was born in Montreal. Like, this went bad over 2 decades ago when he was born.
Mina?
What? That's not even the worst own goal I've seen today. That actually happened in the second segment when Pablo didn't realize you were calling him and guest.
That made it so much better, though. It really did. You know what was so, and this is again Canada versus Haiti, and so Canadian on the call of the game. This is the commentary. His first touch isn't great. Isn't great, you think? It's a little bit awkward how that goes into the back of the net. A little bit awkward. Pablo Torre, it's all been a little bit awkward. But this is what this win today gives you. Over 100 wins, because you were at 99.75. So here's how you would get to 100.75. But Pablo Torre didn't win today's show.
Oh,
and guest wins, his first career win. And guest, congratulations.
On behalf of the and guest community, I'd like to recognize all of the anonymous people out there who've been toiling in the background of photographs for years. Maybe you joined a friend more famous than you. Maybe you just happened to join new friends like Jason and Otis and Wyatt at an S game for the first time and they didn't recognize you or deliberately didn't recognize you because they know you're a prospect.
It's amazing. And guest, even a bigger name dropper than Pablo. We'll see you tomorrow.